In the first century world, descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, made by God as a special people, were not all going in the same direction. You know, we heard in one of our readings this morning about people who did not believe in the resurrection on the last day. And those are called Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so if you were a Sadducee, there was no hope for you. I say, usually, that's so sad, you see. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll be here every Sunday. You know, some were going in different directions. Some were creating new rules to obey. They weren't anywhere in the Word of God, but it was, as we were used to singing, tradition. And so they did follow that. Some were drawing new schemes for violent revolution. And if you will, they were called zealots. And then others were showing support for Herod and his regime. And there were some coming up with proposals for withdrawing into the desert and praying in private. They may have been known as the Essene. And I am sure that there were others who still had totally different ideas, many of which could have been off the wall. And each group felt that God wanted to fulfill his promises through them, that it was they that he was pointing at. Well, now, into this first century Jewish world walks this Nazarene. His name is Jesus. And from the people he has met, he chose 12. Not 20, not 24. He chose a significant number, the same number of tribes. He chose 12. And he went from there. And even if he'd done that without a word, those present could see what it was that he was doing. He was picking his team, who were to be his nucleus, the center, the starting point of what would become Christianity, for what God was now going to do. These simple men, some of whom we don't know their occupations, some we do know. We do know that some were fishermen. It was a tax collector. Simon the Zealot, there was a thief. And these people were the core of God's renewed Israel. Jesus shared with them clear instructions as to how his vision of his Father's work was going to move forward. He gave them four promises, and he gave them four warnings in terms of Israel's law of Moses in the book called Deuteronomy. There were long lists of blessings and a long list of curses. The blessings were for those who obeyed the law, and the curses were for those who didn't. They were a part of the promise, the covenant, the binding agreement made between God and Israel. Well, now Jesus gives them his own version of the same thing. And Jesus' version is quite different, if only radically. It's an upside-down code, or maybe from Jesus' point of view, a right-way-up code, instead of an upside-down one that people had been following. As the gospel today tells us, people from all over came to hear Jesus' teaching, with some coming to hear get healing from diseases, and some from healing of evil spirits. People wanted a piece of this man named Jesus. Can you imagine the crowd wanting to touch him just to get a piece of him? You know, I think back to Beatlemania, when people wanted to rip off a piece of shirt or clothes or jacket from John, Paul, George, or Ringo, or maybe it was the Stones or whoever your favorite group was at that time. But there were people that wanted a piece of. But can you imagine people just wanting to touch the Savior? And as Luke tells us in verse 19, the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Several weeks ago, we read about Jesus' reading and preaching from Isaiah 61, from the scroll in the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus emphasized in that synagogue, as we read in Luke chapter 4, that he is fulfilling his promises. And this means good news for all the people. who have been waiting for good news for quite some time, a very, very long time. He said in Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus had come to help the poor, the prisoners, heal the blind, and free those who are oppressed. I got to thinking the other day, you know, I didn't always wear glasses, but as I got older, I had the need to be able to have glasses for reading, and now it's for driving. It's for just about everything. Then I got to thinking about, if I lived during Jesus' time and I didn't have these, what would I be called? Blind? Many of us who wear glasses would be considered that, because we wouldn't be able to see as much as we can see today. And that scared me. But he made a way. It's called the optician. So I'm grateful. Anyhow, in short, what Jesus was doing was seeking to help people, the poor, the hungry, those who weep, those who hated. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus is giving blessings to people. And you know what? This blessing, you know, as I talked earlier in this message, that when Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are, and those were called the Beatitudes, the holy, blessed are those who are this. And that was the Sermon on the Mount. Well, there's a lot of that going on here today, but listen to this. Jesus said, or I should say, our gospel today begins with saying that Jesus called to the people on some flat land. This is known as the Sermon on the Plain. And there is a Sermon on the Mount, has Beatitudes, and there is a Sermon on the Plain, which has Beatitudes, but it also has curses. Now, Jesus didn't curse people, but he did point out the cost of a way of thinking, okay? It's a bit shorter than the Sermon on the Mount, and it opens with Jesus going down and stood on a level place. Jesus' message here has four Beatitudes, which begin with blessed are, as opposed to the eight in the Sermon on the Mount. The key difference in this reading from Luke is that Jesus speaks about social conditions of injustice as opposed to eight spiritual conditions in the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew's Gospel. These are two separate events. And I want you to hear Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Plain. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Sounds familiar. "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." You might be thinking, "Now, that sounds a lot like another teaching that Jesus made." Well, if you come to church every Sunday, there are going to be times when you say, "Didn't Father John just teach that a couple of weeks ago?" There will be times when that happens, because the message is the same, that God loves you and Jesus gave his life for you. There are only so many ways that you can unwrap a gift. You know, you can either cut the ribbon and very nicely save the paper and put it aside to be reused. I'm not like that. I get to it, I want to get into it. I rip it open. It's always been that way. What can I tell you? But we unwrap the wonderful gift that is God, that God gave us, his son, Jesus. Think about it. There's nothing virtuous about being poor or hungry in itself. But when injustice is reigning, the world will have to be turned more toward the right way up of God's thinking and justice and his kingdom coming into being. And that's going to incite opposition from people who like things just the way they are. Have you ever gone to a church and may have heard this? That's not the way we've always done things. That's not the way we've always done things. Why are you trying to change it? Of course, that doesn't happen here, because you're always open to new things that God wants to teach us, right? I don't expect an answer. It's okay. But you have groups that are listening and wanting to know what God wants to do for his justice in his kingdom. And we're not looking to incite opposition from people who like things just the way they are. You just have to turn on the news today. I don't care what channel you turn on. There's one channel for and one channel against. And you have groups that are standing on the steps of the Capitol, and it could be a Capitol in Atlanta. Or for one thing, it could be, and there are others standing someplace else doing something or another. There's always going to be opposing views. If you take a stand for the right, for the righteous, it's always going to be other people who find another cause. Jesus' message about promise and warnings, or blessings and curse, rang with echoes of the Hebrew people of old. And he knew that the reaction for some of the people would be the same. Who is Jesus calling, and to what sort of task? So, what are his promises and warnings for the world, for the people who will hear his call and follow him? We've all got to answer for ourselves. As Christians, we believe that what Jesus began with the call of the 12 and gave the very sharp-edged teachings of blessings and curses remain in force today. They have not changed. This is the shape of the kingdom of God, the kingdom which today still turns the world upside down. So why are more people not hearing Jesus' call? The answer is in one word: culture. The culture of today dictates to the world. The culture of today goes one way. The word of God goes another. I don't have to go through all of the things that are different that culture dictates. You know what I'm talking about. If it wasn't because of the culture, you wouldn't be in this building today. You'd still be where you were in 2013. But you decided to stand on the holy word of God and not the holy culture of the world. You decided that what God says in here is what means in your life. I don't need to preach it. You know it. You lived it. You made the decision to come here, not me. And God bless you for that. And God does bless you for that. But the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain are a special call. They're a challenge for us to try to live in the present, the way that will make sense in God's promised future. The question is, are we up to the challenge? Will we be able to do it? That's always the question. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, the question was, can the people do them? God knew that we can't. He knew that we won't. One person that walked the face of the earth could keep that law perfectly. And his name? Jesus. God knows that we're not going to be able to do it perfectly. God knows who we are, inside and out. He created us. If we make the effort and we try, then the future has already arrived in the present, in the person and works of Jesus of Nazareth. It may seem somewhat upside down to us, but each one of us is called to believe with great courage and great faith to be obedient. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.